Alan Lightman is an MIT professor and writer with a new book that probes deep questions about the known and unknown universe, including the most vexing riddle: what ultimately gives our lives meaning? Lightman is the author of several books, including a novel called Mr. G, which explored how belief in God might be compatible with a belief in science. His latest book is a collection of fascinating essays called The Accidental Universe, The World You Thought You Knew. Lightman has been writing provocatively about the intersection of science and religion for a long time, and he does it from an interesting perspective, straddling, as he does, two worlds. He's a theoretical physicist and a writer and the first MIT professor to receive a dual faculty appointment in both science and the humanities.
What interests me is they're all of those different ways of looking at the world are part of being human, that each one of us has the capacity to be both intuitive and artistic and more logical and scientific. And I think we all have that dual capacity. From an early age, we certainly get a lot of pressure from teachers, friends, and family to be one kind of person or the other.
To pick a team.
Yes, to pick a team. Right. And life is just easier when you're on one team or the other.
Well, let me ask you about sort of straddling both teams or straddling both worlds, because this leads you to a fascinating set of essays in this book, The Accidental Universe. And let me start with your first essay in the book. And you write, "The appealing and long trend in the history of science may be coming to an end." Explain what you're referring to in that sentence.
Well, the long trend in science has been to try to explain the physical universe in terms of fewer and fewer fundamental principles and laws and rules, as if our universe were a crossword puzzle with only one solution to it.
They've got the key. They want the key.
They want the key, and that's really been the aesthetic of physics for centuries. In recent years, both as a result of experimental results and theoretical results, most physicists now believe that our universe is only one of many, many different universes of wildly different properties. Some universes have 17 dimensions of space instead of three, and so on. Some have stars and planets like ours. Some are just empty, in which case we really cannot calculate from first principles why our universe is exactly the way it is. It's an accident. It's just like Earth is just an accident. So this is terribly upsetting to physicists, because it means that the long and great project of being able to explain everything, being able to calculate all the properties of our universe in terms of basic principles, is mistaken, that there are actually many different universes of many different properties.
This is what got my head spinning in your first essay, because toward the end of that essay you write, "We have no conceivable way of observing these other universes and cannot prove their existence. We must believe in what we cannot prove." And then you write, "Sound familiar?"
Well, that's the other bitter pill that we have to swallow. Yeah. Scientists do not like to be put in the position where we have to take things on faith.
Right. So is the idea here that scientific understanding needs to embrace or has begun to embrace a kind of faith that is similar to religious faith?
Absolutely. There's some differences. I think that the way that science arrives at knowledge is different from the way that religion arrives at knowledge. But yes, I think there's a certain amount of faith that is required in both science and religion. The most fundamental article of faith in science is the belief that nature does obey laws.
Right.
And that those laws are universal, that they operate all through the universe. There's no way that we can prove that.
We can't prove it. We've just observed it again and
again. We've observed it again and again.
Yeah.
But that doesn't prove that tomorrow we might not see a miracle that's totally inexplicable. Religious people would claim that as proof of God.
This idea of where science and faith and religion intersect is so interesting. And I want to move on to your second essay, which is called The Temporary Universe. And you link this human desire to hold on, to preserve what is old and traditional, to try to outlast nature, to try to live forever, really, with the second law of thermodynamics. It's at odds with the second law of thermodynamics. Mm-hmm. And first of all, remind us what that law says.
Well, the second law of thermodynamics says that everything is wasting away.
Right. Everything. We're dying. Flowers are dying. Trees are dying. Even the sun is dying.
Everything's wasting away.
Right. So if it's everything is burning out, what explains this human tendency to hold on and to deny this basic physical law that we are all too well aware of?
It's our personal desire to find meaning.
Hmm.
You know, we're thrown into this very baffling, complicated cosmos. We look up in the sky and we see stars very, very far away. We know that the universe exists far beyond our little planet. We know that we have short lifespans. And so we hope that there's something that lasts, whether it's a soul, whether it's God, some aspect of nature that is permanent. We want something to last.
And so does this explain, and you put this statistic in the book, it was a survey of highly regarded scientists, and it found that about a quarter of them believe in the existence of God.
Yes. But of course, there's some kinds of God that are compatible with science and others which are not. A God that intervenes in the physical world and performs miracles is not compatible with science. Mm. Of course, most religions believe in that kind of God.
Right.
That intervenes in the physical world.
Now, you put your cards on the table in this book. You say that you're an atheist. So the model of a God that does intervene, is that model necessarily incompatible with scientific theory?
Well, I believe that on a purely logical basis, it is necessarily incompatible. Now, there are a few scientists, I don't know, maybe 5%, so less than that 25% who believe in God. Mm. There's probably another 5% who actually believe in an intervening God. And the way that those guys reconcile their belief in an intervening God with their belief in science, because they are professional, distinguished scientists, is that they say that science governs the behavior of the physical universe most of the time.
Mm.
But occasionally, Mr. G steps in and performs a miracle. Strictly speaking, that's an illogical viewpoint.
But aren't there things that happen in the physical world that we really can't explain? And I was thinking of one just this morning. So, for example, despite what we know about cancer, there are stories of that can only be explained as a miracle.
Yeah.
That is, someone who's been deathly sick gives up all sort of conventional therapies and, I don't know, moves to a mountaintop and decides to eat sprouts for the rest of his or her life, and miraculously the cancer disappears. Now, no one would say this is the way you deal with cancer, but every now and then you hear a story like this.
Yeah.
And how do you explain that
other than to
say it's a miracle?
Cancer's a pretty deep example. I mean, for me personally, my socks disappear once in a while out of my drawer.
Well, this is a problem.
And I search all over the house for them, and I can't find them, and I can't find any explanation for where they are.
This is I think this is one of the great mysteries of all time. Where are all the socks?
That's right. We don't have to go to cancer for this. But I think that just because we can't explain something scientifically doesn't mean that a scientific explanation doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, and I think the people who support science believe, that if we studied each of those situations enough and had enough scientific knowledge, that we would ultimately be able to give them explanations. Science has never made the claim that it understands everything. But if you look at the history of science, the body of understanding has been constantly increasing. The belief, or the central dogma of science, the central doctrine, I should say, is that there is a scientific explanation for every phenomena in the physical universe, including people who get cured from cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't found all of those explanations yet, but they exist.
I want to go back to this idea that you touched on just a short while ago, and that is the reason that people who, even scientific people who embrace religion, they do so because they're looking for some sort of larger meaning to their existence, when they know that everything, including our lives, burns out eventually. What comforts you as a pure scientist and an atheist? Where do you look for that larger meaning?
Well, I have been worrying a lot about this question.
Hmm.
I don't think there's any absolute cosmic meaning. For me, I believe that meaning lies in the moment and my relationships with people and what I do in the moment. And I cannot hope for it to last. I just have to appreciate the moment, because that's all there is.
There's a lot of wisdom in that, actually. I mean, another way, a sort of new agey way to say that is be here now.
Yeah.
Not a bad philosophy. Yeah. Well, Alan Lightman, what a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Anthony.
That's Alan Lightman. He's professor of the practice of the humanities at MIT and the author of his most recent book, The Accidental Universe, The World You Thought You Knew. Stay with us. Coming up, Revolutionary, the story of America's first female soldier. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.